This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
Goyada! Odoro, Oto-san! 私行かない。ねえ。誰もいないね。お母さん。お父さん。
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. We have an all not real people line up for you this week.
Broke my heart a little bit. They are as real or more real than some people I actually know.
All right, fine. We have an animation week lined up for you. I think eventually we are going to talk about that perception, but not today, because today it is, of course, Throwback Tuesday, and we're taking it back 20 years to one of the great animation films, 2001's Spirited Away, written and directed by Hayao Miyazaki.
I don't even know how to begin talking about Spirited Away without sounding like I have absolutely no neutrality, so I'm not even going to pretend. But Spirited Away in particular is, I think, iconic and important because it was that movie, right? It was that movie that took Miyazaki from being sort of like deep cut, film nerd favorite to like Oscar winning, everyone wants to watch one of his works, and sort of set the standard for what animation is. So in many ways, I think it carries a bit of a burden of being like the Miyazaki film. But I also think that it's so layered and it's so beautiful that whether you watch it 10 years after it came out, 20 years after it came out, or 40 years after it came out, I feel like it's timeless and you'll always find something new to appreciate about it.
So Miyazaki has always been a blind spot for me. I'm not familiar with most of his movies. I'm familiar with the legacy of his movies, and I'm familiar with the reputation of his movies, obviously, because they are so huge and they are so famous. But they've always been on my watch list of I will get to them in a couple of weeks, and then that becomes a couple of months, and then it becomes a couple of years. So I'm glad that we finally did this. I didn't know that this was his mainstream thing and that the other films were deep cuts, because this felt like an animation deep cut. This felt like animation, indie studio, existential crisis a bit, really, really going deep. But then you're saying that this is one of his like more mainstream projects. So I don't know what to expect with the other stuff.
This was the first one, I think, that translated him to an international audience. I think that he has some other more kid-friendly movies. This one in particular is not that kid-friendly, despite the fact that it has a child as its protagonist. There are others which are really more childhood-based, but this was the one that introduced him to this huge mega audience and I think in many ways introduced Studio Ghibli beyond Japan. It tells the story of... The title is great, right? Spirited Away, because it really is a girl who is spirited away into another land, into a bathhouse, which sort of lives at this intersection of Japanese folklore and abandoned amusement park. And it's a classic fairy tale trope, right? A human family find themselves lost, and then they find themselves getting more and more lost as time goes on. And she gets... separated from her parents and has to find her way back to them. The fact that her parents have been transformed into pigs and she may have to recognize who they are is where it gets kind of Japanese and strange. But mostly it tells the story of, I guess, one girl trying to retain her sense of self and also growing, right? And also trying to save her family.
You said Japanese and strange, and I think that's actually a really important thing to understand about the whole of Miyazaki's body of work, yes, but in particular something like Spirited Away, because, this story told by a Western animation studio would have turned out very differently.
Would no face have existed?
Exactly, right? Would no face have existed? Would we have that sense of like, I don't know, like really there's a core friendship that at certain points you realize isn't going to make it to adulthood in some way, right? And then, these sorts of really melancholy, almost too real for a kid kind of moments, which Japanese culture, which, you know, animation in Japan, which Hayao Miyazaki does, which could only be done by them. And I think those things are really important. This is a story about a child, but I think it's a lot more a story about adults who are looking back and remembering what it's like to be a child. And you know, that's probably why as I grow older and I watch Spirited Away again, I uncover new ways in which to connect with the story. It's not, even at the end, I don't think it's essentially a happy story.
It's also like a fever dream, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's like a very, it works like you're dreaming, because at every junction, there's something new that's revealed, or there's new parts to the story, or like new characters. I didn't expect Spirited Away to be so literal. Like, I didn't expect the title, like you mentioned, to be exactly what it is, like with spirits and with this bathhouse of all things where they come to, they gather and then they come to rest or whatever it is.
Take baths.
And then take baths. But it's so strange and it's so weird. And I think that if you're not, like you said, I think it's partly an acquired taste, even if he is so famous and Miyazaki's work is so well known and so popular, it is an acquired taste. Because I think if you are so modeled after like Western animation or Disney animation or animation that comes from other studios, then it's a very bizarre story. And it's a very bizarre story that starts in one place and ends in a place that isn't really introduced to you in the beginning. So it gets a bit confusing in the middle as well.
So Spirited Away is a movie that I sometimes feel scared to rewatch. I've watched it, I think, maybe a handful of times now since I watched it for the first time when it came out in 2001. And every time I come back to it, I worry, or every time I introduce somebody to it, which has happened quite a lot, as is the case with you, Arvin, I worry that I myself am going to find a flaw in it that I never saw, or somebody that I introduce it to will dislike it, and then I will be forced to reconsider my friendship. And you know, there are all these.
I'm going to say reconsider the movie, but no, you clearly made the right choice there.
Thank you. You know, I think that I approach it with such trepidation because I love it so much. I hold it in such high esteem. It's one of those movies where, from the time that I first watched it, I felt like I'd seen it before. I don't know how else to describe it. I think it's part of that fever dream quality. It feels like something that you've dreamt and that is now available to you on screen. And therefore, it feels like something you've always known, but also something that's fresh. And it's a very weird feeling, and one that has yet to grow stale for me when I return to watch it again and again, because thankfully, the film has never disappointed me, and neither have my friends. So, you know, I just really love it. I can't say exactly what. I don't know if it's the beauty of the hand-drawn animation. I don't know if it's the fact that everybody is just allowed to be themselves. Children are allowed to be children. Frogs are allowed to be frogs. No face is allowed to be no face. You know, or whether it's this, the story has a fundamental beating heart of adventure that I also really love.
You know, it strikes me that even by Studio Ghibli standards of storytelling, Spirited Away is actually a weird one. The thing that you just picked up on, Arvin, the idea of a story that kind of feels disjointed, that you don't see, not all of their stories are like that, right? Like Howl's Moving Castle or Princess Mononoke or Kiki's Delivery Service, they all have very cohesive, sort of a beginning, a middle, and an end. Spirited Away requires a little bit more from you, I think. And you're right that I sometimes wondered whether it was a storytelling flaw, but the more I watch it, I realize that I feel like it might be intentional. That feeling of recalling memories, the feeling of that time in your childhood when you knew something that couldn't have been real, might have been real, but now I'm not sure. I think that's a deliberate mood of this film, and I think it enhances the viewing experience. And I wanted to say that the animation is 100% a huge part of that, right? The way things are animated, the way some details are so vivid and other details kind of fade around the edges, so they almost look like you're not quite sure if you saw what you saw. And I don't know if there is a single animated film that brings together the power of animation with the story it's trying to tell so beautifully like this one.
We're talking today about Spirited Away, which is 20 years old this year. I don't know. We love it. We want to know whether you've seen it. Do you enjoy it? Let us know. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and of course tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. We've been talking today, or throwing back rather, to 2001's Spirited Away. So I have a question and then an observation. So my question is this. How old do you think this movie is aiming at? You know, because it I think it really works for kids in the sense that there are a lot of little creatures. There's a lot of side adventures that Chihiro slash Sen go on through the movie that would really appeal to children. It's a beautiful movie. The idea of the river, the ocean, the trains, like the bathhouse itself is really magical. But there's a lot in there for adults as well. And that sense of loss or being haunted or losing yourself even is something that I think I appreciate more the more the older I get.
The grossness will appeal to kids.
Oh my God.
I realize that.
Like, the grease.
There's a lot of really gross scenes. People being splattered with like filth.
And viscera.
Yeah, which I think kids would just love. You know, because I wasn't a kid when I watched it, I was already in college when it came out. I don't know if I can quite tell, because I would feel like it's exactly aimed at that age, the age of someone who has bypassed childhood, but isn't yet completely an adult. Because I think then it gives you a particular kind of nostalgia for something that you've just let go. But you're right that I can absolutely see kids watching it, but I almost feel like they'd watch it in portions and then wander off at some of the more meditative points.
I wanted to say the same thing. There's a reason why those 24/7 lo-fi channels on YouTube always use like Miyazaki art, because it creates like a vibe, right? So it has a very specific sort of like aesthetic. It has a very specific sort of sound and vibe. It's more than a movie, or it's more than a feeling. It's actually a vibe. And they use it on YouTube for those playlists or those lo-fi playlists because of that vibe. And I think that being a kid, you might want a bit more energy in the stuff that you watch, but being in that sweet spot of maybe just after being a teenager, that's when you watch this. You watch this film and enjoy it.
So the thing that I wanted to talk about that we haven't yet, we actually haven't talked that much about the quality of the animation, mm-hmm. the writing. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about the music, because I think that the soundtrack by Joe Hisaishi is so, I don't know, it's so known, it's so perfect, it's so lived in, it's so kind of dreamy and strange, and it perfectly captures the movie and its protagonist, which I think is so key. I love it when protagonists have great themes.
It's so good that you don't realize it's there, and I don't mean that as a negative. It's so seamless and so organic to the film that I actually didn't even sort of consciously pay attention to it until I looked up the songs and then started listening to them.
That's so true, you know, because I wouldn't listen to any of this on YouTube separately or on Spotify separately, because you'd need the visuals and the characters to go along with it. So it's not one of those things that you can like peel apart from the movie itself.
So let's talk about the writing, because I think so as I mentioned earlier, this one is a Miyazaki joint, so to speak. It's written and directed by Hayao Miyazaki. And if you look at the Studio Ghibli lineup, some others, they tend to alternate, although in recent times there have been other directors, but it's either Hayao Miyazaki or Isao Takahata. And I think the treatment of the films in both men's hands are actually quite different. And this is very, to me at least, distinctly Miyazaki.
Yeah, there's something about, I always feel like he's interested in using animation to tell. So I feel like for him, it's almost like you can tell that the visuals, he already knew the visuals in his head. And then he kind of thought, what story would this serve? I don't know. I'm completely imagining what it's like inside his head. But because it almost feels sometimes like the animation led the story to some extent. And particularly for Spirited Away, famously, they talk about how they hadn't even completed the story when they started filming. You know, he would kind of work on it and he would kind of talk about, well, we'll see where the story goes. And that's actually something that I really love about this film.
Ooh, the see where the story goes, it's so interesting, because I have no comparison. I have not seen like any of his other movies, but I wanted to ask you guys, like, are all his movies three movies in one? Because if this was from another studio, like from a quote-unquote Western studio, this would have been like a trilogy of movies, because there is the first half, and then the second half is a completely different story, and then the third half is like the peak, right? They could have easily split it, an hour and a half, an hour and a half, an hour and a half, but they made it into like a 2-hour, 10-minute sort of like long journey of sorts. Are all his movies like that? Like, you know, three different fairy tales in one long film?
Nice of you to join us on our show, Peter Jackson, because that's 100% the Peter Jackson treatment. You know, I never thought about it in those terms, but I'm thinking here of Princess Mononoke because, you know, Sharmila, you mentioned this at the top of our show, and you mentioned that it's a more cohesive movie, which I agree, but I also think that has three very distinct parts, and a different studio would have split that kind of nature versus industrialization story into three separate epics.
Even actually, yeah, now Arvind's just completely got me splitting every movie. But even like Totoro, right? I mean, there is your basic child finding magical companion.
How long are we going to spend on that bus?
I know.
Have to think about these things.
But there are also these sort of separate storylines. And I think that's actually just a part of how he tells his stories. He draws on like many different things. And rather than treat them as separate storylines, I think he finds value in placing them either beside each other or just like intertwining them in some way.
Which is so genius, because by the end of that movie, I felt like I had watched at least 5 to 6 hours worth of animation or worth of story. But it's just like 2 hours and 10 minutes with credits. It wasn't very long. But because we're not used to seeing animations that long or not used to watching quote-unquote cartoons that long, I felt like, honestly, like I had sat with this for a good 6 hours. Like it felt like a long epic. And that's a flex, right? That's making use of like time and storytelling. And it's just, I mean, I guess that's why he's a genius, lah. You know, he is who he is.
I think some people, maybe Ghibli purists will disagree with me, but I actually think that Spirited Away is a great introduction to the studio. Partly because it's how I kind of entered the Studio Ghibli ecosystem. I watched Spirited Away and then I kind of worked my way through the back catalog. But I also think it's such a sweet spot because it really showcases what they can do. It has enough weirdness in there so that you know what you're getting yourself into for the rest of the films. But it's also like, it's just accessible enough, I think. And it's a very good starting point if you wanted to dive head first and then explore, I think.
Oh, I completely agree. I think that it really does hit that balance between telling you what to expect. Like, if this isn't your thing, you're probably not going to like a lot of his other stuff. But it's also not as difficult as some of his other stuff can be. Which actually leads me to asking the question that I've been wanting to all week. Arvin, are you going to watch any more of Miyazaki's films after Spirited Away?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it's available for us, right? So it's easy to binge. We have like the whole catalog. So like 100%. So now that I've been introduced, I think it's going to be an easy weekend thing for me whenever I have nothing else to watch. I don't mean that in like an offensive way. I mean that when I have a couple of hours, I'm going to put in one of his films and at least two or three more. Before exploring the other stuff.
I said this 100 times. Grave of the Fireflies is not a weekend watch. It is not, you know, I'm not even sure exactly when you want to watch that. Perhaps when you're ready to cry floods of tears, but otherwise just for the rest of the films, yes. Grave of the Fireflies, do not go in unprepared. Consider this my warning to everybody. In closing, I wanted to know whether you guys had a favorite character in Spirited Away, because we've talked quite a lot about how there's one central protagonist and she's really the person we follow through. But there are also a lot of fantastic side characters and people who've become or characters who become iconic in their own right that we didn't mention.
I love No Face, you know, just because of how weird it is that you go into the film not expecting that you're going to come away feeling that attached to No Face.
Same. For me, it's No Face. It's No Face and it's the giant baby. I don't know why, but the giant baby is very, very in control of the situation. He knows exactly what he wants. So the giant baby got me, and No Face for sure.
Giant babies. You know what? I agree. And I think that we've picked kind of two pandemic characters because giant baby is living the best pandemic life. Like you can just do anything. Who doesn't want to be giant baby? But at the same time, in our heart of hearts, we are all No Face.
Oh, that ended well. As a Miyazaki film should, on a meditative tone.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we've been talking today about Spirited Away, which is celebrating, or which turned 20 this year, which is crazy to me. But let us know, are you a Miyazaki fan? Did you watch Spirited Away? Do you love Spirited Away? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and of course, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.